Figure out what makes you unique, what value you bring to the table that other folks cannot emulate, and use that as your voice. And it doesn't have to be something where it's like you're a unicorn and you're the only person who's done it. But if that's your background, if that's the skill you bring to the table, to any deal, to your partners, that's the thing you want to lean on and leverage.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to the Multifamily Money Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and today we're talking to a great guest. His name is John Kasman. John is a real estate entrepreneur who has partnered with Busy Professionals to invest in close to $90 million worth of apartments. John hosts the Target Market Insights podcast, where he covers multifamily and marketing insights. In addition, he is the co-creator of the Midwest Real Estate Networking Summit, a no-pitch event to connect like-minded investors. With a background in marketing, he has overseen campaigns for General Motors, Nike, and Coors Light, among others. John was even recognized by Black Enterprise Magazine as one of the top executives in advertising and marketing. This was a great show, and I took many notes, and I'm sure you will too. We talk about everything from how he got into multifamily, why he left his corporate job to do so, and then just about what he learned in marketing and how he's brought that to his business in multifamily investing. And he says some great, great nuggets on like, what is a brand? It's not your logo. It's not the colors. It's more than that. And we just get into some really good things. So I think you're going to enjoy this one. All right, let's get into it.
All right, John, welcome to the show. I really appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy and I'm honored to have you on.
Hey, Sean, thank you for having me on today.
So, hey, yeah, let's just get right into it. John has a really cool background. He came from corporate America like myself. He was on the marketing side of things. He's worked for some very cool companies, including General Motors, Nike, just to name a few, in terms of marketing for them. And yeah, I just want to hear your background, because now he's brought other investors into multifamily and he manages over $90 million in AUM, which is outstanding. So I would just love to hear your background, as I'm sure the listeners would as well.
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, I come from corporate America. So went into marketing out of school. At some point got hired at General Motors and was working on the Pontiac brand, Buick brand, GMC for a little bit. And if you recall that time frame, for anyone who's listening, heard me say Pontiac, and maybe you forgot what happened to Pontiac, but I was part of the team that killed it. I was at GM when we went through bankruptcy, and the Pontiac brand was one of about three brands that was folded. Another one was sold off. And I remember at that time just really recognizing how fragile our careers really are. Here I am, thriving young executive, making my way up the corporate ladder. And the reality is that that could have got snatched from me at any moment. And I saw it get snatched from a lot of people. And that was really challenging for those individuals. They had a hard time figuring out what they were going to do. And there was one guy in particular who I remember, he left a voicemail. And that voicemail really changed the way I thought about everything going forward, because he basically said, I have no idea how I'm going to pay for my medicine. I've been at this company for 22 years and I don't know, you know, what I'm going to do next. And for me, that just made me fast forward my career. And just, I was sitting there thinking like, wow, what would happen if you had been here for two decades and they let you go? And it just made me really think about, okay, we've got to find ways to create other income, make our money work harder for us, and not rely solely on this W-2. And I thought back to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which I read some years earlier. And I really started to wrap my head around real estate investing and being able to take things to the next level. Fast forward, was able to start investing in real estate. And as you mentioned, kind of started working with other investors and built a portfolio where we've helped investors get into about $90 million worth of real estate and continue to look to grow that today.
That's so awesome. And I think it's important to hit home too about when you're working in corporate America or any job that's, you're not the business owner, you're beholden to someone else. You're kind of stuck with someone else's decisions, whether they're good for you or not. And snap of fingers, it could be over in terms of your career. So I think it's important to kind of build some other income that can come in. And what John and I do is with multifamilies is helping others find alternative ways to produce passive income. Let's get into that. How did you find multifamily? You know, how did you first get into it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing for me is like everyone I spoke to who was in multifamily, they raved about it. And the folks who used to do single family all said, hey, I wish I started multifamily or I went to multifamily sooner. So that made me say, okay, if everyone I talk to keeps telling me multifamily is where they want to be, why would I bother starting with the single family stuff? So we started multifamily, a small multifamily, 2 to 4 units. But in Chicago is where I moved to after being in Detroit. There's so many 2 to 4 units that it was actually ideal. It's a great way to start. Buy, live in one unit, rent out the other unit or the other units. And you now have this home where you can use lower leverage on the financing and get in with little money out of your own pocket. So it's a great way to start investing for a newer investor. So we did that a few times and then started to scale into commercial. And I think the biggest thing that helped me go from a full-time W-2 employee to a full-time real estate investor is really understanding that I didn't have to do it by myself. Up until I started working with other investors, everything I did was just myself and my wife. So she and I tag teamed everything. We saved our money. We bought a property. Saved our money. We bought a property. We did that over and over. And what ended up happening is I realized that we were starting to get equity rich, but we still didn't have the cash flow we were looking for. And the whole point of this for me was to insulate myself in case that situation happened with bankruptcy. And I'll tell you what, I actually had another scare. I was working at an advertising agency, and one day in December, I got a phone call that our New York office was being raided by the bank. They were coming in, they were taking computers, they put locks on the doors, all this stuff. And I was in Chicago, and I remember calling the CEO, and we were talking about it. I'm like, dude, what is going on? And he was like, oh, I don't know what's going on. So all I knew is at that moment, it was just utter chaos, man. It was just utter chaos. And I recall distinctly saying, we can slow walk this to real estate. We've got to figure out ways to make this happen sooner and to help other people in the process. Because if you help other people get what they want, it's so much easier to get what you want. And that's where real estate investing became not just about us, but really about helping other people. And doing that, that allowed us to scale. That has allowed us to grow and really help out so many other families in the process.
Such a cool story. I'm seeing some similarities, not with just myself, but others that I know.
Your company's rated too?
No, not that. Just how you have like a moment at work, maybe not that bad, but where you realize you're not in control. You're just a number and it can end at any moment. And then where are you? And then also just from the fact too of what you said at the end there, which really hits home for me is helping others. Because I come from a finance background, which we spoke on before, and I was there to help others grow their nest egg. And, you know, I thought that I was in the place to do that. And after some time, I realized that's not the case. A lot of people kind of morals aren't in line with where I thought they should be. They're more concerned about their pocket and dollar than the person they're supposed to be helping, the investor. So that's one of the reasons I got into this as well, because I know it's one more cost-effective way to invest, more tax-efficient way to invest, and just a better way to grow both passive income and generational wealth. So yeah, I love the story. And I'd like to get into more of the marketing aspect of it too, because I know you have a podcast. I think it's called the Target Markets Insight podcast. Is that correct?
Yeah, Target Market Insights. Yep.
Yeah. In today's world, when everyone's connected, they have a phone at their fingertips where they can be their own billboard. I feel like it's sometimes hard to be authentic and original and separate yourself. And I know just from being the audience, I know that you've done that. So I kind of wanted to just get some of your thoughts and knowledge on that and how you've kind of been able to separate yourself from what you learned working for corporate American marketing and how you've kind of, if you have or if you have not, kind of brought that into your business today.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the challenges many people face is like, how do I stand out? You're launching this podcast, right? So you're probably trying to figure out, okay, how do I stand out with this show? How do I create some uniqueness and do all these things. I think too often we focus so much on standing out that we don't focus on what we actually do and who we are and being our authentic self. Mm-hmm. And I actually was trying to emulate what I was seeing from other people. You know, when I launched my show, I was trying to do something that was unique in my own thing. So when we launched, the show was all about how to find the best places to invest. It's really all about market research, right? And I did that because that's the thing I was trying to figure out. I was living in Chicago and I knew that I was going to start investing in other markets, in particular Cincinnati. And I found it difficult to figure out where the right neighborhoods were, right? And we can say right in air quotes, but I didn't know what to look for because in Chicago, I was in the city every day, talking to people every day. So intuitively, you could get a sense of which neighborhoods are starting to change, which restaurant just went up, where did the Starbucks just go up? But I wasn't quantifying this. So it was all qualitative stuff that I was seeing, subjective, but not quantitative. And as you're looking out of state, you don't have that ear to the ground like you do when you're in your backyard. So I was trying to figure out what metrics do I actually pay attention to, which metrics are just noise, and how do I actually get ahead of the locals, right? How do I find the hot spots before the locals find the hot spots and other investors? So I launched this show to help me learn from other investors, other, you know, real estate professionals, business owners, to really understand how they find the best places to invest. What ended up happening is we had to morph the show, because once after you do 30 episodes of that, you kind of start to have a bit of a process of how you actually find that. And that's when I realized, you know what? I've done marketing for 15 years. I actually have a host of other skills that people don't know about that I don't get a chance to share, and that I'm not actually further developing. So we morphed the show into multifamily and marketing to really take advantage of that. Now we talk more about everything from branding, social media, email marketing, SEO, building our websites, just everything that it takes to build a brand. And the reason this is very important is I also realize that real estate investing is just another business. And every business has the same fundamentals. You have your finance side, you have your HR and operations, and you have your sales and marketing. And the marketing side of this was something that I had a great background in, even though it wasn't so much in real estate. But if I could bring those skills to the forefront, it gave me something unique. It gave me something competitive that allowed me to create a name for myself. And that's what I've been able to do. And I would urge anyone to find your voice, figure out what makes you unique, what value you bring to the table that other folks cannot emulate, and use that as your voice. And it doesn't have to be something where it's like you're a unicorn and you're the only person who's done it. But if that's your background, if that's the skill you bring to the table, to any deal, to your partners, that's the thing you want to lean on and leverage. So for me, it's marketing, and I'm happy to jump more into any marketing specifics as far as how we leverage marketing to build a brand, attract capital for deals, and also build powerful relationships.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, Sean. And I think that's so true. That's what I'm trying to do with this show. I just feel like if you're authentic, you're going to find your tribe. When you have a tribe that's connected to you just because of who you are, it's going to be stronger than any type of following you could ever build with not being authentic. So yeah, I totally agree. But yeah, if you want to jump into how you're kind of using marketing to raise capital, because that's obviously the one side of the card that's super important to do any, especially if you're going to do like you over 90 million worth of deals, you're definitely going to have to be able to raise capital. So yeah, I'd love to get into that.
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of things. One is that on our deals, you mentioned the 90 million. I mean, we partners we work with, operators we work with. So one, it's great to partner and be have a smaller slice of a large pie than trying to build your own pie by yourself. So that's one thing I'll say there. From a marketing standpoint, one of the key things is really making sure you understand your values. You should look at your values. You should look at your audience's values and figure out where those synergies are. So what we try to do is really educate folks on the things we think are really important when it comes to investing. So when we think about multifamily investing, we are thinking about the deals themselves, how to underwrite the deals, how to find the deals, all of those different components that go into making a deal work. When we talk about working with investors, however, that's so driven by relationships that you want to build a brand. And a brand is not the colors and the podcast and all the cool, sexy logos and all that kind of stuff. That's not what I mean when I say brand.
Yeah.
A brand is simply what people think of you and say about you when you're not in the room. So you talked about me being on here and all this stuff. We've never met before this conversation, right?
Correct.
But you have an image and a perception of me. You have thoughts. Other people have said things to you about me. That's my brand. I can't control that, right? I do things to invest in it and try to make it strong and solid, but I can't control what someone else says about me. That's my brand, whether I like it or not. So the best thing that I can do is give people a reason to say good things about me. If you think about Nike and you think about Reebok, they both make athletic shoes. So what's the difference? People are not trying on those shoes and debating the quality of the texture of the materials that were used to create it, right? And they're not, they're like, we're not debating that. You're looking at it, You either like the design, but you really are buying the brand. You like what that brand represents. It's the not just the design, but it's also the reputation that comes with it. And brand is really driven by reputation, because you see people wear some ugly stuff, but it's got that brand on it, so people will pretend it's not ugly, right?
Right, right.
And that's because you see a logo. It's like, oh, this is Cartier. It's like, eh, it's still ugly. But that logo, right, it carries a lot of weight. And that's, and the reason it does is not about the logo. It's about the reputation. So you have a reputation. All of us have reputations. Building a brand just allows us to invest and steer people towards the reputation we want to create. Prior to getting into real estate, I was a marketing guy. So part of what I had to do was help transition people from where I was as a marketing professional to where I am as a real estate investor. So one of the things that we like to do when we coach other investors, especially those folks who want to be active investors, we teach them about what it takes to reposition yourself, what it takes to share what you're doing, but more importantly, how you help other people. And if you can do those three things, it'll allow you to build a powerful brand that brings people into your universe and will allow you to grow and attract capital for your deals.
Sorry, just taking notes. That was some, those were some nuggets right there. And what you said about you can't control what others say is so true. And I would just urge people not to stress on that. And it's about your actions, and you can create your what you want, and don't worry about the other noise. That's some solid information for everyone that's trying to create a brand, and kind of hits home. Like you said, I'm about to launch this as we speak. And yeah, I'm just going to produce this. I'm not going to be able to control what others say, but I want to come off as authentic as possible. But hopefully it's not ugly like some of those like Balenciagas and stuff. So hopefully I can create something nice. But yeah, you mentioned from like coaching aspect, and just helping investors, I think that is also very important. And I try to do that as well. Just from where I was, I did that on the other side of things. I think it's important just to let people know what we do, how we do it, and how it can like change lives. And I just kind of wanted to get into that, because that's what part of this show is about, is creating that passive income so then you can live the life that you want to live. So I just want to ask you, if you don't mind sharing, like, what has multifamily done for your life, and how has it changed it?
Created flexibility. And that's the thing I think most people want in their life. We've got flexibility. I control my schedule. And that is a very powerful thing. The last story is I missed my son's fourth birthday, and it hurt me. And I had to go on a TV shoot, and I really tried to get someone else to cover it. The client wanted me there, and I tried everything I could to not go. And ultimately, no one else on the team, we were kind of thin on the team at that point. So no one else on the team was senior enough to go. And this was a challenging client, to say the least. So I ended up going, and I had to FaceTime my son while it was his birthday. And I remember at that moment, just, I asked myself why. Like, I told myself that family was the most important thing to me. But in that moment, it was clear work was. Because I could have been more adamant and said, I'm not going. I don't care what happens and what the ramifications are, but I'm not going. It's my son's birthday. I'm going to spend it with him. Now, to be clear, I was there for his birthday party and everything. His birthday fell on a Tuesday. So, but I just remember like just thinking about that, like, man, you got to get your priorities together, because what you say are your priorities are not your priorities based on your actions. So I think that was really the last straw for me to say, all right, and I was building up to this point. We were already working with the investors, but at that moment it was like, we're going to have to leave corporate America and do this full time. And that's when I really started to put those plans further into motion to make that happen. The way we help people now, the way real estate has helped me and has helped other people, is by creating that flexibility. And we help people two ways. One, through education, particularly for folks who are looking to be active and really looking to run their own deals, want to be active investors. We help educate people, coach them, mentor them as far as what that process looks like to scale and build your portfolio. But then also we work with passive investors. If you are a busy professional, if you're working full time, you've got a great job, but you want to put your money to work so you can create more flexibility and give yourself more options, we provide investment opportunities for those individuals. And we also provide education as well, because many of our past investors are very interested in learning more about not just syndication, but real estate and all the different strategies. So we want to expose them to that and not just have a bunch of silent partners. So we're happy to educate people, let them learn as they earn, and give them the flexibility that they need so they can make the decisions they want to make. I think the biggest thing is that I see too many people who should be passive trying to be active. Mm-hmm. And I'll go back to what I said about prioritizing your priorities. If you tell me that you want to work a little bit less so you can spend more time with your family or travel, but what you actually do is you go buy a 2-4 unit, or you pick up some small properties that you're self-managing, and now you really have a part-time job on top of your full-time job, on top of your family and lifestyle desires. Well, you've just made your life more complicated. You can say whatever you want to tell yourself, but it is not easy to manage properties. And at a minimum, it still takes more time. So investing in a passive manner will allow you to actually free up that time and make your money earn money so you can do other things. So just keep that in mind, because you want to make sure you're not just doing something to do it. Real estate investing is not passive. I don't care what they say. Mm-hmm. It's only passive if you are in a passive position with someone else who's going to be active. So if you're buying a 4-unit building, you're going to manage it yourself. Even if you have a property manager, you still got to oversee them and they're still working to be involved, right? So just really think through those things as far as your time, your priorities, and find the right investing strategy that fits what you're looking for.
Couldn't agree more. And let me tell you from experience, it takes more time to invest in that 4-unit than it does a big one. Even if you're on the active side, I couldn't agree more. And I think time is our most valuable resource. So from what you were just talking about, like if you really do want passive income, on the active side, it's not going to get that for you. But if you like love a deal, the art of the deal, then yeah, by all means, be active. And then the story with your son, same thing. Time is valuable. And I'm sure you work a great deal amount, but you're able to be flexible with this business. Thanks for sharing that, John. I guess before I would let you go, I'd want to ask you about the podcast in terms of the target markets and where you focus and kind of what you're seeing. Cause as you know, it's a crazy market right now. What are we, July 2021? It's been a whirlwind. And I don't know about yourself, but I've seen deal flow the highest it's been in a long time, which is saying something at how where valuations are. So I'd just love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, right now, I mean, listen, it's a great time to be in real estate, especially if you're a broker. There's a lot of activity, a lot of interest right now. And for us, when we look at our investing, I think you should always look at modifying your strategy. Just pick one thing and just do that for 30 years straight, because things change. The market changes, right? It's just like anything else in life. You have to adjust your strategy. This is the same thing we learned in business and in marketing. You can't just go with the same marketing strategy because you used it for the last 5 years. You have to keep looking at the market, adjusting, look at the new players, the new media outlets, and figure out where it makes the most sense to go out there. So one of the biggest things for us is we love the Midwest. And part of the reason we love the Midwest is you can still get that combination of cash flow plus appreciation. In many markets around the country, cash flow is either non-existent or it's really dropped to a minimal level with people buying properties that are 3 caps or really low cash flow properties. So for us, we still like the cash flow, but we still want some appreciation as well. So we like markets that are growing, strong fundamental markets like Indianapolis, Louisville, Kentucky, Columbus, Cincinnati. These are markets where they're seeing good population growth. There's job growth. There's some industry diversification. And you're seeing that apartments, rents are still trending upwards, even through COVID. Matter of fact, especially through COVID, the Midwest performed extremely well compared to other parts of the country. So we really like the Midwest markets for those reasons. And as far as our overall strategy, one thing we've tried to do is really say, okay, if people are willing to pay a little bit more money for a property today, how do we adjust to make sure we're getting the right value for the right property? So we've made some modifications to our own criteria and our own strategy just to make sure that we are playing both defense and offense. And I think a lot of people right now are, unfortunately, they're only playing offense. And if something were to change in the marketplace, they may have some exposure. We are really actively looking at playing defense as well to make sure that we are in a good position no matter what happens in the marketplace today.
That's great. Before I let you go, I usually ask the same question because Multifamily Money Podcast, would love to get your take on your number one financial advice. It could pertain to multifamily, it could not. Would just love to get your number one tip?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just invest. Invest in what you know, learn, educate yourself, invest in yourself first and foremost, but put your money to work. You listening to podcasts is great. Reading books is phenomenal. But until you invest, you're not an investor. So put that money to work. And if you have questions about that, or if you want to see what a sample deal might look like, I do have a package on my website. You can go to kasmancapital.com/sample deal to learn more. And you'll also be added to our newsletter there. But you've got to invest. I mean, you can only study and listen for so long, and invest what you feel comfortable investing. There are a lot of different ways to invest now. So I think that you can look at it, do some research, but you want to find opportunities that allow you to learn, continue to earn money, and do so in a way where the risk is mitigated, because we're not gambling. You can certainly find other ways to go play the lotto or put it all in crypto if you really want to shoot for the moon. But I think you want to invest in assets that produce income. And that's the thing I love about real estate is that, in particular multifamily, we have income producing assets. We are using leverage. So the bank's taking on the bulk of the quote unquote risk. We have assets that traditionally appreciate over time. We have assets that you can take depreciation off of. And you have assets that are great for inflation. They do a great job of fighting inflation, which is something else we're seeing as of late. So you factor all those things in, and not to mention that there's a housing shortage, not enough apartments in many of these key markets right now, and you can force appreciation. I mean, there's just a ton of reasons to like multifamily. So yes, there's a lot of demand, but when you start to understand why, there's nothing that indicates the demand is going to slow down, because you have people from all over the world who love U.S. real estate and love U.S. multifamily in particular. And I don't see that changing any point in the next few years.
Couldn't agree more. Where else can people find you, John?
Yeah, just go to Sample Deal. It's probably the easiest thing. KasmanCapital.com/sample deal. If you go to the website, you'll see information about our podcast and other information as well to get in touch with me. So check that out, and I'd be happy to connect and talk to you more.
Great. Well, hey, I know you're a busy guy, so I really appreciate you taking time to come on the show and sharing your wealth of knowledge. So yeah, thanks for coming on, John.
Absolutely, Sean. Thank you for having me today.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review, and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.